Bernard Kerik's unexpected withdrawal late Friday as President Bush's nominee for Homeland Security Secretary was an unusual bump in what has otherwise been a smooth transition to a second term. The former New York City Police Commissioner asked the president to remove his name from consideration because of questions over the immigration and tax status of a woman who worked for him as a housekeeper and a nanny. The announcement now leaves the administration with two cabinet vacancies to fill. The other is a replacement for outgoing Secretary of Health and Human Services, Tommy Thompson. In all, 9 of 15 cabinet secretaries are leaving. NPR White House correspondent Don Gagne is with us. Don, first, what about the Kerik withdrawal? I mean, prior to that, it seemed like the assembly of a second-term cabinet had been moving forward pretty efficiently.
Oh, absolutely. Much of the talk had been about how bland the whole process had been, how businesslike, which, of course, is exactly the image this White House likes to project. This is an embarrassment. Clearly, the system of vetting and getting all of the information before a nominee is put forward didn't really work. And given how high profile Kerik has been in recent years, really the big name among the newcomers to the Bush team, it is an embarrassment. And we can now look for the administration to move really quickly to get this behind them and to name a replacement.
Now, with 9 out of the 15 cabinet secretaries leaving, how unusual is this degree of turnover?
Well, Bill Clinton replaced 7 members for his second term, but not as quickly. It took place over a couple of months. Richard Nixon asked everyone for their resignation right away, but again, he only replaced them gradually, and not all of them. He replaced 9. Again, that was over time. So the swiftness of this and the high number do make it unusual.
In practice, how different do you think the new cabinet will be?
Well, Donald Rumsfeld is still at defense. He certainly will be dealing with Iraq. Condi Rice replaces Colin Powell. That's a huge shift, given that Rice has been one of the president's very closest advisors. And at the State Department, she won't have the kind of differences, the kind of disagreements that Powell had with the president on foreign policy. And really, perhaps the most significant thing with this cabinet is that there will be no one like Powell, no one who is seen as being a truly independent voice. One of the most controversial members, John Ashcroft, the attorney general, he will be gone. He'll be replaced by Alberto Gonzalez, who could be controversial as well. He, too, very close to the president, the president's former lawyer. Really, overall, if you look at it, loyalty seems to have been the main criteria. And critics say there'll be no dissent, nobody to really stand up to the president. They may never disagree with him. So the question is, what kind of policy comes out of that kind of an environment?
The newcomers to the cabinet, these aren't household names.
Absolutely not. In terms of stature, these nominees are not nearly as high profile as those who were named at the start of the Bush presidency. They're not people who brought their own political base. Remember all the former governors, Tommy Thompson and Christy Todd Whitman, John Ashcroft, a governor and a senator, Tom Ridge, another former senator, Spencer Abraham, and, of course, Colin Powell. The new names, aside from Condi Rice and Mr. Kerik, who's no longer on the list, are not nearly as well known. People like Sam Bodman, a Treasury Department undersecretary who will head the Department of Energy.
Was diversity, do you think, one of the president's goals in this new cabinet?
Definitely. As with the first Bush cabinet, the group photo is one of diversity in terms of race and gender. And certainly there are some really compelling personal stories here as well. The new Commerce Secretary, Carlos Gutierrez, whose family fled Cuba when he was a small child. Then he rose to be the chairman of Kellogg, the giant cereal company. But while there is diversity in terms of race and in terms of gender, not really so in terms of ideology. These people on this new cabinet tend to think alike, which is like the president.
NPR White House correspondent Don Gagne. Don, thanks a lot.
A pleasure.